Mic'd Up, Our Women Entrepreneurs is brought to you by Scottish Edge and is supported by the Royal Bank of Scotland. More details on Royal Bank of Scotland's accredited support for women in business a little later. Hi everyone and welcome to Mic'd Up with me, Alison Walker. In this second series, I'm chatting to more amazing women, this time to women entrepreneurs, all with great stories to tell. I'm in Edinburgh and I'm going to be chatting to Karen Robinson, the founder of Three Robins. And I guess, Karen, tell us what Three Robins is, first of all.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks very much for inviting me. It's lovely to chat to you. So Three Robins is a new oat milk company. We launched last year in May, and we are targeting the family market. So we saw an opportunity to create an oat milk that works for families from breakfast through to bedtime, with the idea that families were having to buy multiple different products to fit the needs of grown-ups versus kids. And that was frustrating for me as a mum.
Usually a lot of businesses start up because there's an area of need, but there's a big difference between moaning and saying we need this and this and actually doing something about it, which is what you've done.
Yeah, absolutely. And so also should say food and drink is completely new to me. It's a big career pivot. So I was not in the industry beforehand. I was looking for a career change. And my own family, I have three little boys who are the Three Robins, and we were drinking a lot of oat milk as a family because two of them are lactose intolerant. And so through necessity, but then also eventually our own preference, we exclusively switched over to oat milk. And so it was that sort of frustration. And because I was looking for a new challenge and something different to do, I probably, in retrospect, went in a bit naively thinking, How difficult can it be to make an oat milk?
What is your background before this?
So I had a career working on women's rights in conflict-affected countries. So I have a PhD in politics, and then from there went and worked for NGOs, the British government, and various UN agencies working to support countries that were emerging out of conflict and provide support to women's organizations in country, but also at the policy level to reform governance and economic structures to ensure they were more equitable towards women.
But I guess there is some synergy there, isn't there, between what you're doing now and that, isn't there? Do you find that's helping you in some of the way the decision making you're taking?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think in terms of purpose, it's all been very important to me to have that sense of purpose in what I'm doing. So although I'm working on different issues more now on sort of health and sustainability versus perhaps equality and rights in my previous career, I think always having that strong purpose is important. And certainly in terms of the skills that I acquired in my previous career, those are also proving to be transferable and useful in a way that maybe I didn't quite anticipate before getting involved.
I guess though the science aspect of it must be an area that you're perhaps not as strong in terms of going forward, or are you?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a massively steep learning curve in terms of understanding how you go about developing a recipe. And then even once you have a recipe, that's not even the hardest part. It's almost then how do you scale that commercially and finding manufacturers and what happens to your recipe when you do it in your house, which is how I started in my kitchen, literally making oat milk at home, putting it in glass bottles, distributing it. The product itself that I was making at home would clearly not be scalable commercially, and people were looking for something more familiar, like what you get with an Oatly or an Alpro that you would buy in store. So that was when I thought, right, the idea is sound, and I think the market is there from all of the kind of the testing that I did, but the process to actually make it into a viable business will require investment and time, and that's when I sort of started working with food scientists to develop the recipe and hunting around for manufacturers and building out sort of the brand and what Three Robins turned out to be.
And how long did you take to come up with the final recipe?
So the recipe itself, it didn't take maybe as long as you might think. So there were various stages of back and forth, and this was all done. So I kind of got the idea just before COVID. I was sort of thinking for 6 months about career change. And so in late 2019, I had started making it at home. Then COVID hit, that slowed things down a little bit. So a lot of the recipe development was done virtually. So I was working with food scientists who were not located here. A lot of labs shut down, etc. So they would post samples to me. I would test them, feedback, they'd adjust. And so it took probably about 4 to 6 months to kind of finalize and settle on a...
But you got the result you wanted. When did you know it was right?
So again, we did lots of testing, relying on sort of friends and neighbors. So we knew we had a really good recipe. For me, the biggest challenge has been the manufacturing. It's tricky to make it commercially, and the sort of manufacturing processes that are required are very large scale, very expensive, so there's not much choice in terms of manufacturing partners. So that was the hardest challenge. And then even once I found the right manufacturer, got that relationship established, getting on the production line is then another, you have to then wait and that whole, so the whole process of develop from idea inception to kind of getting to market was about 18 months.
So what do we have right now? Is it just one recipe and one?
So we've got kind of our hero first product, which is our original oat drink, which is a barista standard, fully fortified with no added sugar, kind of does everything that you would want a dairy product to do. That was the product we launched with. And we've recently introduced our second product, which is a chocolate oat drink, which is very different from what's on shelf at the moment. It's got 30% less sugar than any other dairy or plant-based flavored milk. So it's much healthier. It's also fully fortified, made with fair trade cocoa. And the idea is it's a kind of lighter, healthier, everyday alternative. So we don't need to see chocolate milk as a treat. So you can get that great chocolate flavor. So you can use it for pancakes, for smoothies, but you're not getting the sugar.
What do the boys think?
They love it, of course. They're very hard taste testers, though. There's been many iterations that they haven't loved quite so much. They're obviously really invested in the business because they see themselves in the name. And the nature of running a business with small kids means that, you know, they've had to tag along to the warehouse many times. They've done deliveries with me. One of our lovely stockists even let my middle son, Christopher, putting the little price tags on the cartons when we delivered into his store. So they've helped at markets and festivals. And I think, you know, it's great because it's important to me that they feel like this is a family business and something that they're proud of. And they love seeing, obviously, when we're out and about.
It's your three boys, three Robins, and the name Robinson. So the links there and the logos, the Robins.
Yeah, so we have these lovely little Robin characters. We worked with a design agency called Lux, who are based here in Edinburgh. They're a food and drink agency, and they've done all of our kind of design work. We've also got two kids products that we're going to be launching towards the end of this year that are little oat milk smoothies for kids. So again, very healthy, they're very low in sugar, mix of fruit and lots of hidden veg with an oat milk base. And we've brought the Robin characters even more to life with those. We've got a little superhero Robin and a little pirate Robin. I hope that, you know, as time goes on, we can really make the brand and the Robins kind of familiar characters in the home.
But you have literally been there worn the t-shirt, you have children, you understand what works.
Yeah, I think obviously having that personal connection to the problem that I'm trying to solve with the business, I think it does help makes you relatable, and I think it does give you insight into that consumer need. So that's definitely been an asset. And I think also in terms of growing the business, being able to speak to other parents in a way that one of the other big players in this sector, Alpro, can't, because they're just a big business, whereas we're a business with a face and hopefully a relatable story.
It does make me think, why hasn't somebody addressed this before?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. There have been a few brands in the US popping up that are focused particularly on kids and the kids plant milk market, but I think this huge boom in interest in plant milk is quite recent. I know you mentioned you yourself are vegan, but I think so many people have been jumping on to the sort of oat milk phenomenon through the barista, the barista channel, I suppose. Oatly really focused on coffee as their way of mass marketing. But I think because it's been that out of home barista coffee occasion, it's taken time for that to filter down into maybe having it at home. And obviously COVID, more people were buying it at home, using it at home. But there's a lot of uncertainty about, can you give it to kids? And, you know, a product like Oatly, is that suitable? What are kids getting from these products? Are there things they're missing? And also taste. I mean, kids are tough, so a lot of them don't always taste that nice, and so kids don't want them. So it's I think it's quite a new space, and I think there's just been a bit of a lag. And we are the first, to my knowledge, sort of company in the UK making a plant milk and certainly oat milk that is really specifically aiming for that market.
What's been your biggest challenge?
Initially, it was the manufacturing, and I think that is always a challenge. There's little capacity to manufacture.
Sorry to interrupt, where does that happen?
So we make our product here in the UK, but in England, so there's nowhere in Scotland that can make. Our products are shelf-stable, meaning they don't need to be refrigerated, and they've got a 12-month shelf life from production. So they're very convenient. You can keep them in the cupboard till you're ready to open them, and then once they're open, they're just like milk. You just pop it in the fridge. It reduces waste in terms of distribution. It's more energy efficient. So that was the route we wanted to go down, but actually there's very few places that have the sort of the filling processing and filling lines required, and there are none in Scotland, which is partly why nobody had done it before us. You know, we often get asked, you know, where are you made? And unfortunately we have to say, you know, we're not made in Scotland. We are UK made, which I think is important because a lot of oat milks are imported from overseas, which is obviously not the best sustainable choice. Our new kids products will be manufactured in Scotland.
Do you sometimes surprise yourself with how much knowledge and business savvy you have now compared to maybe, you know, 2019 when you were thinking about this and how far you've come?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, entrepreneurs are known perhaps for, you know, we have to troubleshoot constantly. So you're always, there's always a challenge in the horizon. So you're always focused on that and maybe don't take enough time to sort of stop, look back and think, you know, celebrate the wins and all that. And certainly I have taken myself by surprise. I think any of my close friends and family would never have picked me to be the person that would launch a business. It wasn't perhaps something, you know, you hear of founders who say, well, I always knew from a very young age I was going to have my own business and had all these ideas. And that wasn't really me. It wasn't something I had particularly set out to do. But having now done it and started it, I mean, I absolutely love it.
You often hear businesses start because somebody had a personal identification of a need. And that's how it started for you. But then you've obviously taken it and run with it.
Yeah, I think certainly there, you know, in terms of the scale of challenges that have been along the way, you know, because it's not the easiest time to be launching a business, certainly, like, and cost-wise, production is expensive, ingredients are expensive. There were many points where I could have probably just stepped away and, thought this isn't the path to take, but I think I'm a very stubborn person and determined and could see that there really is a genuine gap out there. And I do think these products offer something different and really want them to succeed.
And this is a question I would probably not ask a man, but it is relevant because the work-family balance when you're running your own business is a challenge, particularly for a woman entrepreneur. How do you find all of that?
Yeah, it's definitely been an adjustment for me. It's not easy. My kids are 5, 8, and 10, so they're still quite little. They're typical high energy boys, so they do require a lot of support and attention, and you want to be there anyway because these are the years where it counts. So it definitely comes at a personal cost or trade-off. My husband travels with work also every week, so it certainly isn't easy. But like I say, I think it's really important for them to grow up in a home where, you know, that both parents have ambition and have a life outside of just being at home and getting them to school on time, which I still try and be the person that takes them to school in the morning. And, you know, I've got lucky to have people around that help with sort of childcare. But I think it is that guilt, that maternal guilt complex that, you know, I speak about it so often. I have so many in my network now of other founders who are mums, and it's really challenging. I don't think it gets easier.
I've been through that too. You know, it's work, it's husband, it's the kids. What about cat?
Yeah, it's all that calls on your time, and it feels like there's never quite enough of you.
You get an energy from that and an adrenaline from that that you can bring into the family also. So it's a great thing too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do think I am very fortunate to have this opportunity to grow this business, and very lucky that I've got a supportive husband that has his own full-time job that also allows me space to grow the business and invest that time and energy into it. And, you know, I do try and make some time for running and at least a few wee hobbies, but yeah, so that's always the first thing that falls at the wayside.
And again, if you run a family, you know, it always amazes me that we don't have more women entrepreneurs in a way, because especially women as families, because they're used to organizing things, to delegating, they're used to time management, they're used to, you know, so it's a skill, it's almost an innate skill of a mum, isn't it?
It is. I think it's the confidence and the support. I don't know, to because I also know lots of other, particularly mums who might have the typical side hustle, you know, that sort of, oh, well, I do it on the side around the kids' school. It's not really a real business. It's just something I do in interest. But so many of those businesses do have the potential to be something more. And it's a shame, I think, sometimes.
Confidence is a big thing.
Yeah.
Particularly when you're coming up with an idea and you don't get the support, partly because you're a woman or you have other demands somewhere else. But that, I sense that is changing.
I think it is. You know, even I can see that there are opportunities that are open to me as a female founder that maybe wouldn't be open to a man. There are groups out there, there are support mechanisms out there that you can take advantage of. We've recently been accepted into Buy Women Built, which is a community of brands, not just food and drink, but in all different sectors, but female founded, built around this concept that not everybody has the money to invest in female-owned businesses or to start their own, but everyone buys things. So why not be buying from a business that is founded by a woman? So it's a network that's been established, and there's a Kite Mark, and there's a lot of marketing and events and promotion of these businesses. So I think things like that are quite exciting. And not only do you get sort of the extra recognition for your business, but it's that community of other people going through exactly the same thing that you are, and how can we all lift each other up, I suppose.
Keep each other going. And in terms of funding throughout this process, I mean, how did you know where to go for help, for funding?
Well, very early on, I joined the RBS Accelerator Program, and that's a free business accelerator that you can apply to join. So I was lucky enough to get onto that, and as a person coming completely new into business, that was a huge opportunity and an asset for me. So I got mentoring, access to a network of other founders, but also pointers to other funding opportunities. So that really helped me refine my pitch and think about a business plan, all these kinds of things that you need if you're going to be applying for funding. So that helped sort of signpost what I should be doing. And then it was a case of going out there and trying to applying for everything I could and trying to.
The skill in doing that too is a skill in filling in forms and putting in the right boxes. And
fortunately, my previous career, you know, I had to fundraise big global development programs. That's come in handy. I'm very, very good at grant writing and that kind of fundraising. So that has come in handy for sure. I've been fortunate to get some funding along the way.
The business and you personally have a level of social responsibility, and there's an element of, do you have, what about sustainability in terms of packaging or things like that? How does that?
Yes, obviously important. I think it's an industry that is changing and under a lot of pressure to change packaging. So for our products, they are in fully recyclable, similar to a Tetra Pak. It isn't Tetra Pak we use, it's a company called SIG, but it's the same idea, so that we can have these, as I said, the shelf-stable products. So they, depending on your council, can be recycled, but I think there's still leaps and bounds to move ahead to make them more recyclable. And SIG is doing a lot in that, and as we grow, we hope to be able to invest in plant-based materials, for example, for packaging. I think there's certainly things that you can do to try and
something. And the short-term goals and the long-term goals, where do you see the business going?
So our ambition is to be the go-to plant milk brand for families in the UK and potentially beyond through export as well. So for us, it's about growing that brand awareness. So in the short term, we've been quite focused on growing in the Scottish market, trying to prove ourselves, test out the traction kind of regionally, and that's been going really well. We're now in more than 65 shops and cafes across Scotland. We've just got our first wholesale listing with Green City based in Glasgow. So that's going to help get our distribution nation, you know, across Scotland. And we're also now in discussion with wholesalers and specialists.
To cope with the demand, say everybody says yes.
That would be a good problem.
You know, don't jump before you can walk.
Yeah, absolutely. We're lucky that we can grow with our manufacturing partner. They have grown a number of other brands up to multi-million pound businesses that export globally. So that production capacity is there. We just started, thanks to the funding we got through Scottish Edge, some of that has enabled us to outsource our distribution. So we're working with third-party fulfillment company. So before it was myself and my colleague driving to our warehouse space and packing boxes, delivering it to farm shops. You know, I remember driving up to the House of Brewer in a blizzard in December, delivering the first order to them, thinking I'm winning. This is amazing. But you know, you look back now and think crazy, but that's what you have to do.
When was that?
That was in December. The business is growing really positively, really excited about how things are going and the direction of growth is encouraging. So I think scaling definitely is, you know, it's a real possibility for our business, but we definitely do want to be measured in that approach, because you see too many other food and drink businesses. You know, you win your Waitrose listing, great, but nobody's going to pick us in Waitrose when they've got a wall of Alpro and Oatly, because still just not enough people know who we are. So we've got to build up that brand awareness.
How comparable is it?
We're more expensive, obviously, being a smaller company. We haven't quite got that benefit of economies of scale yet. But we're not positioning ourselves as a kind of premium, high-end price point. We want to make sure that we are accessible to families, many of whom don't have an astronomical budget for these things. So you have plant milks from people like Lidl, who are quite cheap, their own brand. And then you've got your Oatly's, your Alpro's, who have achieved huge scale, and then we're a little bit more than that, but not prohibitively.
Now, you have won awards.
Yes.
Entrepreneur of the Year in October. Did you go along and pick it up?
What was that? I did, yeah. so that was the Scottish Women's Awards, and so that was, yeah, unexpected, given the business was very still new at that point, so unexpectedly had to make a speech and everything. But yeah, that was, you know, really lovely to get that recognition for myself. And then the products themselves have also won quite a few awards, Nourish Vegan Awards. We got gold for the best drink product at the Scotland Specialty Food Show earlier in the year, which was really great for us because that helped give us immediate visibility with all the trade buyers who were at that show. And our chocolate is up for an award at the Nourish Kids Award. Yeah, very exciting.
These are lovely things, because they almost give you the encouragement and the assurance that you're on the right track, don't they?
They do, absolutely. And with all of these things, you know, you do get the feedback from all the judges, which is also useful, you know, either validation or suggestion of what needs to potentially be improved. But, you know, we're really happy with the recipes. We worked particularly on the chocolate so hard to get that low in sugar, but still tasting. Because the problem is, the more cocoa you add, the more bitter it becomes, and then the more sugar you have to add. So that balance was really difficult to find, and we didn't want to go down the route of adding any kind of sweeteners or anything like that.
It's a very fine balance, because the palate of the people is... Everybody's different as well.
They are, yeah. It is a subjective thing.
What does your global network that you have, you know, because you did obviously work in that world, what are they saying, the contacts you have out there, what are they saying about what you're doing right now?
You know, they think it's fantastic. So more laterally in my career, I did do quite a bit of work on women's entrepreneurship, more in developing countries perhaps than somewhere like the UK. But yeah, I think, again, surprised a little bit, because having been so immersed in that career and sort of so dedicated to it for so long, to do something completely different is a bit of a break. But I hope that it's something I can come back to, whether it's through as we grow and support through donation or through sharing profit or whatever, could we look at how we can support organizations that are still working on those issues? Or
in terms of mentoring, you've actually done it now.
Yes.
In terms of being an entrepreneur, whereas before, although you were in that world, you're actually living, I was going to say, the dream.
Well, I feel like I'm living my dream. It wouldn't be everyone's dream, I suppose. But no, I do hope that, yeah, going forward, the mentoring, I think, is so important, because I know how much of a difference it's made to me and continues to make to me. I'm very lucky that I've got a few very, very experienced people who are advising me and helping me grow the brand to what it is. And to think that I could then do that for somebody else.
Well, it's a great story so far, and thank you so much for telling us all about it, and all
You're
power
welcome.
To you and to Three Robins as well. I can't wait to try it.
Thank you. Yes, I look forward to hearing what you think.
Our Women Entrepreneurs is supported by the Royal Bank of Scotland, providing accredited specialist support for women in business today and every day in the form of free help, expertise and guidance. Whether you want to chat with one of the local enterprise managers, are interested in the Accelerator programme, or would benefit from a mentor session on the Women in Business mentoring platform Mentor Match, go to rbs.co.uk/business and search Women in Business to find out more. Meanwhile, keep an eye and an ear out for the next episode of Our Women Entrepreneurs on Mic'd Up, coming soon. Thanks for listening.